This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, here it is, finally, Thanksgiving Day. And what a difference from last year, huh? Last year I was worried we'd have to cancel the thing because of all the snow we had. And this year, boy, I'm ready to go outside with my t-shirt and catch some rays. It's beautiful today. Well, many people look forward to this holiday. It's a time to get together with family and friends. A time to sit down to a delicious meal that includes turkey with all the fixings and desserts full of calories. A time to reflect upon all the earthly blessings that God has showered upon this nation. In fact, it was President Abraham Lincoln who made Thanksgiving a national holiday. He was inspired to do this when he read about the pilgrims who left their home in Europe and came to a new land so they could have the freedom to worship God faithfully. That's why they made the journey over here. And you know what? The same thing happened with God's Old Testament people. God rescued them from Egypt, brought them through the desert to the promised land. The primary reason was so that they could be delivered not only from physical slavery, but especially from the spiritual slavery of Egypt. Egypt was full of false gods. So God delivered his people from that physical and spiritual bondage so they could be in a place where they could worship him faithfully. God rescued them. He promised to give them a home with abundant provisions. But God also understood the temptation. You see, whenever we have abundant provisions, there's the temptation to think that maybe now we don't need God. That's why God brought his people through the desert. In fact, over 40 years they spent in the desert. God was training them to learn that what they really needed was God and God alone. For example, we can read about this in the book of Deuteronomy. Listen to what Moses writes. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here we see that more than any physical blessing, we need to trust God's word. In fact, that English word command, when we read that God wants his people to keep his commands, that English word command maybe isn't the best translation of the Hebrew, because when we hear the English word command, we think of some drill sergeant telling us to do something. But the Hebrew word is much broader and deeper than that. The Hebrew word is really teaching or instruction. And so God's word, his teaching, his instruction, not only includes his loving plan for our lives, the good things he would have us do, the evil things he would have us avoid, but his teaching, his instruction, his command also includes the good news about salvation, the forgiveness, the love, and the eternal life that we have through faith in Jesus. This is what God wanted them to keep near and dear to their heart. But he knew that if they got too comfortable, they could begin to forget about their need for God's salvation. And they would start living as they pleased and separate themselves from God. And so in the text I just shared with you, we need to realize that God is teaching us two things. First of all, God is teaching us that we need to remember him. We need to remember him not because God has a need to be remembered. God's just fine without us. The reason we need to remember him is that we need to remember him. We need to keep our focus on God because only then are we in a right relationship with him. When we begin to forget about God, things go badly for us. The second thing God is teaching us in the reading I just shared with you is that He wants us to understand that even though he knows we have physical needs, I mean, he created us as physical beings, so he knows that we have physical needs, but even more, we need to remember God so that we will realize that we need more than just physical blessings. We need the spiritual blessings that only God can give us in Christ. In fact, Scripture teaches us that the greatest thing we sinners need is forgiveness. The greatest thing we sinners need is to be reconciled with our Creator and Savior. We need His love. We need the hope of eternal life with Him. I mean, think about it. If you have a stomach full of food, if you have a clean bill of health, if you have $1 million in the bank, if you have everything this world adores at your disposal, but you don't have Jesus, you really don't have anything at all. We desperately need God's gifts of repentance and faith. We desperately need Jesus, who saves us from sin and death and hell. With that said, let's get back to our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8. God tells His people Israel that they are going to enter a land that is so abundant that they will never lack any physical necessities. And God reminds them that He gave them these gifts, not because they deserved it, but because He is merciful and He loved them. Well, in the same way, God has given us Americans a land filled with abundance. We have more physical blessings than we can imagine, especially compared to people who live in certain third world countries. Most of us, if not all of us, never have to worry about whether we're going to have food or clothing or shelter. Even the poor in America are rich compared to most people around the world. And all these blessings God gives to us, not because we deserve it, but because He loves us and He is merciful. In fact, the Bible teaches that God wants us to enjoy the physical blessings that He gives us. Listen to what Paul writes to Timothy in his letter to him. Paul writes, "Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer." But as I mentioned earlier, even though God loves to give us physical blessings, He also knows that there's a spiritual danger that exists whenever we have physical blessings in abundance. This spiritual danger exists because we sinners tend to worship the gift rather than the giver. You see, the problem is not with physical prosperity. Physical prosperity is fine. It's a gift from God. The problem is when we begin to worship our prosperity and forget about the Lord that gave it to us in the first place. Therefore, God lovingly warned His Old Testament people, and the same warning He gave to them also applies to us who live in America today. Let's listen to that warning one more time. God says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.'" Isn't it obvious how these words apply to us in America today? God has given us so many physical blessings. Not only do we have the basics, food and water, clothing, shelter, but we have abundant food, abundant clothing. I don't know about you, but a lot of us have closets with a bunch of clothes in it. Some of it we don't even wear. And our homes, We don't live in shacks like some people do in the world. We have wonderful homes, wonderful places to live with heat in the summer, with heat in the winter, and air conditioning in the summer. On top of all that, we have countless other luxuries. Cars, TV sets, DVD players, refrigerators that keep our food cold, storage rooms full of items that sometimes we don't even use anymore. I could go on and on. You know what I'm talking about. The problem is that we have it so good in America that we might be tempted to say, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. My friends, God gives us our physical blessings because He loves us, but He also knows that our physical blessings could lead us to forget about the Lord our God. And sadly, that is what we often do in America. We forget the Lord our God. And so because He loves us, God exposes our sin. He reminds us that we deserve nothing but His eternal wrath. But then God points us to Jesus and reminds us that the reason we have hope is that Jesus suffered in our place of damnation. When Jesus went to the cross, He took your sin and my sin and the sin of all people, and there He suffered the judgment we should have had so that we might be forgiven and live now and forever as God's dearly loved children. And the reason we have that hope of eternal life is that the same Jesus who died for our sins rose from the dead, and He now lives as our Lord and Savior. And He calls out to us today to remember Him, because we need to remember Him. Listen to what Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the unbelievers run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well." Here we see that the kingdom of God does not consist in earthly wealth, health, and prosperity. Now, God knows that we have physical needs. Most of the time, He provides us with those needs in abundance. But even when He allows us to do without, even then it's for our good, because God promises to work even through our hardships to bless us and to draw us closer to Him. But you see, more than anything, Jesus teaches us that we need His kingdom. And what is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life that we sinners have because of Jesus and all that He's done for us. Now, some of you might wonder, well, if God created this world, and as Paul said to Timothy, everything God created is good, then why do we have a problem at all? Why do we even need to be saved if everything is very good? Well, God did create everything very good, but as you know, it didn't stay that way. If you read the first three chapters of the Bible in the book of Genesis, you'll find out what happened. Even though God created everything very good, the devil, a rebellious angel, tempted Adam and Eve, the first humans, to reject God, to forget about Him, and to go their own way. And sadly, that's just what they did. And the rest is our tragic history. The Bible teaches that we're all descendants from Adam and Eve, and we have all inherited their sinful nature. And so we are conceived as people who naturally rebel against God and forget about Him. We are conceived as people who do not love Him and do not trust Him. If left to ourselves, we would be doomed to suffer God's wrath and be separated from His love for all eternity. But here's where the good news comes in. Even though we sinners are guilty of forgetting about God, God never ever forgets about us. God always remembers us. That is why He sent His one and only Son to the cross to be our Savior. Our Savior from sin and death and hell. As I already said, Jesus saved us by dying on the cross in our place of damnation. Have you ever thought about how much God loves us? According to the Bible, we are by nature God's enemies. We don't deserve anything from Him but His wrath. And yet, He loved us so much that He poured out His wrath on His own Son instead of us, that we, who are by nature His enemies, might become His dearly loved and forgiven children. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't sacrifice one of my own children for one of my enemies. But that's exactly what God did for you and for me. Even though we are by nature His enemies, He wanted us to be His dearly loved children. And He sent Jesus to this world to make that possible. When Jesus was on this earth, in visible form, He performed many miracles. One of the miracles He's performed is very famous. It's called the feeding of the 5,000. You might remember what happened. There was crowds following Jesus. They were out in the middle of nowhere. They didn't have a Hugo's or a Walmart or a county market to get any food. And so they had a choice. Either stay there and go hungry or leave. Well, Jesus didn't want them to leave. He didn't want them to go hungry. So He took the little bit of food that was there. A boy had brought a few bits of bread and a couple fish. And Jesus miraculously multiplied them into enough food to feed over 5,000 people. However, one thing you have to remember about Jesus' miracles is that even though He cares about our physical needs, which is why He fed the multitudes, which is why He healed the sick, which is why on a few occasions He even raised the dead, even though Jesus cares about our physical needs, He cares much more about our spiritual need. Our need to acknowledge our sin, our need to trust in Jesus for forgiveness, our need to be reconciled with God. Jesus knows that if we have His physical blessings, but we don't have faith in Him, we really have nothing. And so after Jesus fed these 5,000 people, He did everything He could to get them to see that they needed more than this physical food that He had given them. But sadly, many of the people in Jesus' day just didn't get it. After Jesus fed the multitudes, they started following Him even more, not because they thought He had something more to give them in a spiritual sense, but because they wanted more of the same. They just wanted more for their stomachs. Jesus knew this, so listen to what He said to them. He said, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for Me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On Him, God the Father has placed His seal of approval." Let me paraphrase what Jesus was saying to them. He was basically saying, hey, you're not coming after Me because you saw Me work a miracle and realized that I'm the promised Savior who can give you forgiveness and eternal life. That's not why you're following Me. You're following Me because you think I'm a genie in a lamp. You're following Me because you think I'm a divine Santa Claus who will give you what you need and what you want. And then when you have that, you're done with Me. Jesus knew that's what they were thinking. And Jesus also knows that we can be guilty of the same evil. You know, I hear a lot of people in America talk about God, but very often when they talk about God, they talk about God in terms of Him being a genie in a lamp who exists to grant our wishes, or a divine Santa Claus who exists to bring us presents when we want them. But that is a false God, my friends. When we think about God in that way, we have forgotten about the one true God who created us and sent His own Son to save us. We have forgotten that what we really need is forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with God through His Son Jesus. My friends, you know what our problem really is? Our problem is not that we want too much. Our problem is that we want too little. You see, we're easily satisfied with the physical things of this world as though that's all we truly need. But my friends, we need a lot more than that. We need Jesus. And the good news is that we have Jesus. Even though we are guilty of forgetting about God more times than we know, the good news is that God never, ever, ever forgets about us. God remembers you. That's why He's telling you about Jesus today. Do you think it's a coincidence that you're here? God wants you to remember Jesus. My friends, you can come to God, sinner though you are, and you can know that through Christ you will receive mercy and love and eternal life because of what Jesus has done for you. The same Father who loves you enough to give you food and clothing and shelter and many other blessings, this same Father will also give you what you truly need: forgiveness of sin and eternal life in His love through His Son, Jesus. In fact, I want you to listen to what Jesus says to us about Himself. He said these words to the crowds He had just fed, but He's saying this to us today too. Listen. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me will never go hungry, and he who believes in Me will never be thirsty. All that the Father gives Me will come to Me, and whoever comes to Me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do My will, but to do the will of Him who sent Me. And this is the will of Him who sent Me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given Me, but raise them up on the last day. For My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Isn't that wonderful? The God who loves you enough to give you food for your body today, tomorrow, and the next day, this same God also loves you enough to give you the true bread from heaven, Jesus, His own dear Son. As I said at the beginning of the sermon, today is Thanksgiving. God will again provide for our physical needs by giving us food and clothing and shelter and much more. But remember our Lord's words. He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." My friends, don't be satisfied with too little. God wants to give you so much more than bread. God wants to give you Jesus, now and for all eternity. In fact, my friends, if you have Jesus, you have everything you really need. On our church sign, there's this question: why should we give thanks? And of course, the obvious answer is, Jesus died and rose for us. That is the main reason we should give thanks every day, even if we don't have anything that the world holds dear. You know, our church here, Concordia, we support an orphan. That's part of this orphanage support program that our district, the congregations of the Missouri Synod in North Dakota, are supporting. These orphans in Kenya barely have the basics of life. Before they were helped by this program, they didn't even have those basics. Didn't even have food, didn't even have clothing, didn't even have shelter. Their parents had died of AIDS. Now these children at least have the basics. And even more than that, they're being taught about Jesus. I remember talking with one of the missionaries from Kenya when he was here visiting our state. And he said, "You know, even though we in parts of Kenya have hardly anything compared to you Americans, we still give thanks every day from the bottom of our hearts because we know that we have what we truly need. We have Jesus." What a witness to us in America. I'm not saying we have to feel guilty about all the abundance we have. It's a gift from God and He wants us to enjoy it. But God also knows the danger. The danger is that we can be tempted so easily to worship the gift and forget about the giver. So let's remember those orphans in Africa and what they can teach us. Even though they have so little that this world holds dear, they have everything they really need because they have Jesus. And so do you. In closing, I'd like to read the sermon, the opening hymn for you. Give thanks with a grateful heart. It's just one line. But think about these words as I read them to you. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich, because of what the Lord has done. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment, we'll